Let's do the twit.
Let's do the twit, baby. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 21 for September 4th, 2005. That's an amazing response. Thank you, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. And you probably gathered we're not alone. We are not alone. We are here at the Apple Store in San Francisco, our first live Twit. And this is really a thrill. It's nice to have all of you here in the live audience. And, of course, the people listening all around the world who are joining us. And the Twits at the table today. And let me go down the table and introduce everybody. Of course, the lovely and talented Patrick Norton. Patrick? Even though there's a live audience, the radio audience at home can't see you wave, so you might wave verbally. Just, you know,
Hi, everybody.
A twint hint. David Prager is also here.
Hey,
David.
Everyone.
How you doing? The lovely and talented Robert Herron for PC Magazine Labs.
Hello, hello.
Kevin Rose is here. Kevin Rose brought his entourage.
Yes, brought the Revision 3 crew with me.
You've got Keith Harrison videotaping.
Yeah, we're going to launch this as a download, too.
This will be the first video ever of a Twit.
Cool.
And we were never all together before, so we really couldn't do a video. We looked at different ways to do it. In fact, we tried that iChat conferencing, but it just really, we didn't have the bandwidth to make that work. So
plus, it looks like a Brady Bunch intro.
It did. Here's a story of three geeky guys. Ladies and gentlemen, John C. Dvorak.
Hello.
He gets, say it with me, he gets no spam.
I don't. I don't know why this has become a big deal.
Because you're the only one in North America who doesn't.
He gets no spam. Let's do that one more time because I really want some volume.
You're
here.
Just going to use this on it. You're going to use this as a role.
It's going to be part of our music.
Yeah,
Ashley Twit is already recording. He gets
no spam.
Oh, my God. And now we have, I'm really pleased to say, joining us right now, Roger McGuinn, who is, of course, the man who is famous for the birds and for his own solo career, 8 Miles High. And you've heard, yeah. And you're kind of a gadget hound, aren't you?
Yes,
Roger?
I am. Yeah, I love it. Love tech, yeah.
So he sent us an email and said, well, I'm going to be in San Francisco. Can I come by? He actually brought some stuff to show. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And you've known Dvorak for a few years.
About 10 years, yep.
He invented this guitar. Seriously.
What do you mean?
I really did. That's why I brought it. It's a new invention.
It's a 7-string.
7-string, yeah. And they have 7-string guitars, but not this configuration.
Well, you're famous for your beautiful 12-string playing.
Well,
is this kind of a cross between 6 and 12?
Exactly. That's what it is. It's got the cool G-string pair, like... It's like the best part of a 12-string is this part here, like a.
It's almost like a sitar-y kind of resonance in the background, kind of.
Yeah,
like
it's got a high string and a low string.
Yeah.
So I've got that, and then I had a it's a regular 6-string aside from that, so you can bend it.
That's beautiful.
So it gives a bluesy thing, but you can do the 12-string thing, too.
But this is a Martin, so you not only invented it, but it's actually being manufactured.
I had Martin make me one, and then a couple of guys came up and said, hey, I want one, too. So Martin decided to make a special edition of them.
That's great. That's
really called
neat.
The HD7.
The HD7. Well, it's not exactly tech, but it's still pretty
well,
cool.
It's low tech.
It's a gadget.
It's wooden steel tech.
As Dvorak pointed out before we got started, there are people in the audience with their blogging, even as we speak. Is that wild?
Well, he says now that he's not blogging live.
He's making a movie. So there'll be a competitor to the official Twit video. I'm going to see if I can get... Matt, would you get me the handheld?
It's also going to be a great shot of your ass, Leo.
Thank you. I just stood right in front of the microphone.
In fact, he had to do a panorama.
I noticed he panned away from my backside. Yeah, you can just remove
it.
So we actually have a bit of a setup. We also have a lot more people here that we're going to get on mic later on. What's your name?
I'm AJ.
AJ, what are you doing?
I'm recording you guys.
On your eyesight?
Yes, I am.
And then what are you going to do with that?
I'm going to share it with my friends who weren't able to make it today.
You can post it if you want. If you want me to serve it, I'll be glad to for you.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
And you don't mind if that's in competition with Revision 3D?
Yeah, it's all good.
Right.
What format are you recording?
Yeah, what are you recording in, AJ? Is it...
What's that?
What format? It's just QuickTime,
just
yeah?
Just QuickTime recording into iMovie.
So it's, yeah. You could make 264. It's DV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's FireWire in.
Do H.264, whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's the best.
It's okay quality.
So, you know, Apple sent out this invitation. Did you get one, John, with the blue denim, the jeans, the pocket of the jeans?
No, I don't get anything.
The biggest revolution since 1,000 songs in your pocket. They invited everybody to this thing Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm going.
Well, I'm going too, but do you think there'll be a surprise? Because an analyst, like the next day...
Well, you know, we should talk about that here on the show. We've got all these brainiacs here, maybe some gossip mongers out there, maybe somebody knows.
Well,
because I talked to Markoff the other day about it, and he says that everyone's still trying to guess what they're up to.
John Markoff of the New York Times, well, he doesn't know. But this analyst, I can't remember if it was Morgan Stanley or whatever, but he said, it's Singular's going to sell the Motorola phone. It'll be the iTunes phone.
That's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It is boring. It doesn't sound like as big an announcement as the original iPod.
No.
I want the video iPod. Who wants a video iPod?
How many of you think it's a video iPod?
Definitely want one.
Well, doesn't Steve say that video iPods are a bad idea? Isn't it Jobs
that's what he says, because right now he's milking it with this overpriced iPod.
It's going to change his mind.
So he figures, until the sales start to flop a little bit, then he'll jack into a
are we allowed
one.
To
it change his mind.
Can we say this stuff in the Apple store? Are we allowed to?
Yeah, they can throw us out at any time.
Did I say overpriced? I meant, considering what the prestige aspect and value.
Yeah, it's
probably the coolest.
It's a thing of beauty. It's a work of art.
Yeah. John's not worried about being thrown out. He's worried about getting through the horde of angry Apple fans between him and the front door.
Hey, move your microphone a little bit closer to your mouth there, because you're not loud as the rest of us.
Well, maybe
Roger
McGuinn
has pulled out his iPod.
Cool.
He's whipped out it. Whip out your iPod.
We're
how many
cool
of you,
zone.
How many of you have iPods?
Yeah.
They're whipping out their iPods. There's a mini. There's a regular iPod.
I have four, but they're all at home.
You see, maybe Apple's going to announce a countersuit to Creative. Creative suing Apple because of the for patenting their interface. Apple tried to patent the interface in 2002. It hadn't gone through yet, so now...
But it's just that patent thing is just nested menus.
Well,
here's
an interesting... Because a patent lawyer sent me an email after we talked about it. Because remember, we said Microsoft got there first. And patented it. And this guy said, first of all, nobody got there. No patents have been approved, so nobody has the rights. And he says it's not exactly what anybody's been saying. Of course, I don't have the email in front of me, so I can't.
Right.
But this Creative is a real patent. I mean, obviously, they're pursuing it. So they have a patent, and they're suing Apple. John's fascinated by the iPod interface. Have you ever seen that before, John?
No. It's pretty cool.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's in color.
It's in color. This one
If the screen was bigger, it could be video.
Creative's got problems of its own, though. They shipped something like 10,000 Neons to Asia. 4,000?
4,000 units to Japan with a worm on the install software.
They put a Windows worm on the software.
That sucks.
Scan discs.
What? So did they recall them all?
Nobody seems to be following up on that. Nobody's heard anything from Creative about it.
It's just Asia.
Well, on one thing, it's like it's horrible that somebody's shipping, you know, software, an install disk, a CD with a worm on it. But the flip side is, you know, 4,000 CDs for installing a Creative product that's not particularly popular anywhere.
The Neon.
Yeah, followed by the fact that, you know, Windows XP is getting ransacked on a daily basis anytime you go online. It's like, yeah, big deal.
Keith, I hope you're getting this. Roger McGuinn showing John Dvorak how to use an iPod. That's a moment in history. Hey, how you doing? Another story. I think we've lost all interest in this one. Have we? Is there anything more to say?
Well,
Creative suing Apple. I mean, is that a big story? Is there something to say there?
It's interesting. It's kind of there's so many lawsuits going around the portable interfaces right now.
Right.
You know, there's Microsoft in one direction, Apple in another direction. Creative's got. I mean, ironically, Creative, which has like the ugliest interface on the planet, may have gotten the nesting menus or however you want to categorize it patent first. So they're going to sue them. So it's going to be another long, drawn-out legal court battle.
See, we talked about this earlier. I said Microsoft will never sue Apple because they each have their, you know, patents in their back pocket that could cause a shooting war back and forth. But what has Creative got to lose? I mean, they're kind of are they not kind of out of the business practice? They can't sell their stuff.
Well, they're actually they're the second largest provider of portable media devices or MP3 players after Apple right now.
But I just saw a story saying they're going to start pushing sound cards because they're giving up on the MP3 market.
Well, I was at a table with the CEO two weeks ago.
He says he's going to keep doing it?
Yeah, the CEO seems to have a very different opinion. Yeah. In terms of sheer volume,
they're still turning over they're pretty much the largest, or from what I've seen, they're the second largest provider of MP3 players after Apple.
But I mean, Apple's 80%, so yeah. Second largest doesn't mean.
Well, yeah, but that's like saying AMD is a joke. You know, if you can get, you know, 10% of an $18 billion market, that's still a fair amount of change, right?
I think the microprocessor market's a little bigger than the.
I'm not arguing that it is.
Okay, I'm not going to argue.
Well, is it? I guess it is. Oh. Yeah, because even if iPod has to have an iMicroprocessor, by definition, it would be a bigger market. The iPod Plus market. AMD is, sued Intel now. Intel's saying they're just a bunch of crybabies. Did you see that Intel release today, this week?
There's a lot of things going on.
Well, let's talk about this, because we never really talked about this Intel AMD thing. Is this a case of the time-honored tradition of, if you can't succeed in the marketplace, sue? And that's what creatives do.
If somebody sees somebody that they perceive are benefiting from illegal activities from their perspective,
they should sue.
They should sue. It's like if somebody shot, a friend of yours, and the police department don't want to do anything about it, you can always sue for wrongful death. I mean, there are ways of suing people for doing wrong things. Now, who's right and who's wrong on the thing? The courts have to decide. But it wasn't thrown out of court.
No, that's right. So. It wasn't. But did you read what Intel said? I don't have it in front of me, but Intel was whining and moaning, saying,
right here, I believe.
Kevin's doing Dvorak's research.
Kevin's got this thing down. He's got everything you can bring up. Kevin's got a tab for it on Firefox, and he just
popped
right
to it. Except for that story.
I don't think you sent that one around, Leo, did you?
I forgot to send that one around.
It sounds more like, in this case, more like Intel's doing the whining.
Yeah, you're right. I'm saying, they said there's no merit to it. You think that AMD is rightfully complaining that Intel is? Well, it's the same thing Microsoft was doing. They're saying, we'll give you discounts if you.
I recommend people go to the AMD site, or you can go to Dvorak.org/blog and you'll find. I recommend.
He has a link to Intel.com there. If you can't remember that.
Hey, you'd be surprised. So anyway, you should go to the AMD site and then click on the complaint and read it for yourself, and you make your own decisions. It's very entertaining reading. I've read a lot of legal documents in my day, but this is the most fun one I've ever run into.
It has merit, you think?
It's hilarious. I never said that.
Because you're very careful not to say things like that.
I'm objective.
He's a journalist, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Patrick.
Outpost Crystal or the CNET Google debacle?
Well, we didn't talk about the CNET Google thing when it happened. It's now, 6 weeks old?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought John might have something to say about this. You heard what happened, of course. That CNET wrote a story, a reporter was writing a story on privacy issues with Google, and she looked up Eric Schmidt, the Google CEO, and using stuff that she found on Google, wrote an article saying, look, even Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, this stuff, and Google hit the roof. In fact, they cut off CNET. They said, we're not going to talk to you anymore for a year.
Well, it seems to me that anyone can do that anytime they want to. They don't have to talk to you. But and so I don't think
that's whiny. That's not.
It's
that's
a little wimpy. That was Eric Schmidt's getting a little sensitive now that he's a billionaire. He's acting up. A lot of people do. But it seems to me, as long as they haven't really messed with CNET's links on Google, in other words,
well, that would be bad.
So this is just a pissing contest. Who cares?
I mean, the thing about this, the information on Eric Schmidt's, it's all something that would be available in any public filings.
Exactly.
All
it was on
Google.
All
that information is public.
Right.
It's not even that it was that private. What I've heard from some people who, say, work at CNET in certain departments was that Google was upset that CNET wrongfully accused them of using desktop search to catalog what was on people's desktops.
They didn't like that.
And send it back to their super secret Google servers where all the secret information is kept. Fundamental question is, and it comes back to an incident we had here on Twit last Saturday night, was how exactly do you guarantee privacy?
Not that I would ever whine about somebody revealing something that was public.
Well, the point being is our complete BitTorrent system has been redirected because our FeedBurner system has been redirected because you felt that they revealed information that shouldn't be public.
Right. They said we had 41,000 subscribers. Yeah. I think there's more people in this room.
I think the issue with Google is that they're using their size and power to try to muscle CNET. They're trying to send them, and they're just saying, hey, look, if you mess with us, meeting other media organizations, if you try to report on us in a way we don't might not like, we're big enough and important enough that if we don't talk to you, you might care about it.
Well, that's why I'm surprised John's not leaping to CNET's defense.
You know, this is how the entire music industry is run. If you work for a music paper, if you don't cover all the horrible little bands that nobody cares about, especially the ones that are total marketing fabrication, you will not get an interview with the larger bands. You know, unless you're maybe Rolling Stone. I mean, that's just the way it's done in other industries.
Well, there's a precedent. I mean, you go downstairs and find a Wiley and Sons book.
You know, here's one other thing you have to consider. CNET's a news outlet. They can, if they wanted to, and which is what I think they should do, if they find this to be a problem, why don't they go after Google? Start investigating the company, writing a lot of negative stories. That always helps. I mean, there's ways of doing this without whining to us. I'm not working for CNET. Why should I be defending them?
Actually,
they can't take care of themselves. They're a bigger company than I am.
Reason this came up is the New York Times op-ed pages did, in fact, just publish an editorial piece saying it's shameful what Google's doing.
It's so shameful. The New York Times does it. Who are they kidding?
Yeah. Do they? Embargo
Washington
people?
Does it. If you don't ask the right questions at a big press conference, you never get invited back.
I mean,
Apple's the same way. Why do you think I don't get invited to these things?
at least CNET knows why they can't get phone calls back.
True. It was
besides that, you can always have a stringer go do a story and then file it with CNET. You can always circumvent the system. You don't have to say, I'm with CNET. You know, you could be an independent guy, and they can hire freelancers to do this kind of work if they want to get a story out of Google. It's not a big deal. Anyway.
I think that's pretty much says it all. Anything you on your mind right now, Kevin Rose?
Linspire launches 5.0.
They're
going to
give it away. Now, wasn't that because somebody else, FreeSpire? Somebody did this FreeSpire that was a Linspire distro that was going to be free.
They've been doing this for a while, though. They've been giving coupon codes so you can get it for a couple days. They're saying just for a few days they're going to be giving it away. But who cares? I think Linspire is the worst Linux operating system out there.
Somebody sent me an email saying, quick, you can get Linspire for free. I was like,
yeah, it's terrible.
What do you use?
I can get SUSE for free. I can get Mandrake for free.
Well, I would rather prefer using a Linux distro that you don't have to pay for.
Debian?
Like Debian. Well, it's based on Debian.
What do you like the best?
Debian.
You do?
For sure.
Debian's for advanced users. And then
the package management is pretty much the nice
apt-get
part of it.
Apt-get and all that is
it's
wonderful.
It's really easy to update applications.
Yeah.
So.
Gen 2 is similar, uses the same kind of thing. Do you use anything but Windows, Roger? Or you?
I use Synopix, like the STD and the love those.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, live distros, they're really cool.
And why is that? Because you don't want to bother installing.
Yeah, I don't want to take up the hard drive on my dedicated other. You know, because I'm recording and I've got a lot of tracks on a hard drive, and I don't want to mess with it. So I'll just get into Linux.
See, he actually goes on the road with a laptop and does live recordings with these expensive microphones.
Yeah, tell us about this mic. He's got a mic.
Okay, yeah, this is a Samson. It's called a C0.
Samsung.
No.
Samson, like the Samson, guy who lost his hair.
Like Samson, it's a Samson is a music. They sell hardware, music, like instruments and stuff.
So they're well known.
Yeah, it's Sam Ash. It's Sam Ash.
Oh, Sam Ash.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And this is their proprietary brand. And so it's a C01U. It's a USB studio mic. It's a, I think it's about a 19 millimeter large diaphragm condenser mic.
So be very good for voice.
Yeah, it's great for voice and
guitar.
Musical instruments, right?
Yeah,
like acoustic.
How much
do
those go for?
It's I don't know. It was
like you, Dvorak. He doesn't buy this stuff.
It was a
gimme.
Yeah, it's
What's neat is USB.
Yes, at least I have a ballpark.
I think it's
figure
probably under $200.
Really?
Yeah, it's like $199.
What's the model again?
It's a C01U USB.
I think a lot of podcasters that would be probably a very.
Oh, they need it.
It's ideal for podcasting.
Seriously,
you just
most
plug
podcasters
it.
Do a crappy job
audio
because of their
problem.
Audio. They don't have good microphones.
It's about
$80.
This is
a USB mic. It's
crazy.
You beat me. Samson C01U.
$80.
Frugal.com.
It's $80.
It's about $80.
On Frugal.
Cool.
$80 on Frugal.
Right. That's great.
Now, does it have a mount? I mean, it looks like the USB is plugging into the bottom.
Yeah, there's a mount here. This unscrews, and there's a...
So you could put it on a microphone stand.
It goes on a mic stand, right. I just didn't bring the mic stand.
Okay.
Didn't fit
we
in my
should
bag.
Actually, for all this publicity, we should be getting a bunch of free mics for all the Twitcasters here.
I think it'd be a good thing.
I think so.
Yeah. Now that I've spent...
I'll look into it.
We just bought 5 Sennheiser headset mics.
Yeah.
And so we don't need them now, but thanks. Maybe
thanks
I should
anyway, right.
No, but this could be handy for other things.
Yeah. No, we could use it.
And also, I just wanted to say I'm recording this on Audacity, which is a cross-platform free multi-track program. It's a wonderful...
We were talking, because I use right now what I'm recording this on, for instance, is Auditions from Adobe, which is a proprietary $300 program for Windows only. Yeah. Audacity's Windows, Mac, Linux, and it's absolutely free.
It's great, yeah.
You find them comparable?
Well, no, I think there are probably more features on Adobe Audition or Pro Tools or the ones that cost hundreds of dollars. But for the price, you can't beat this. I mean, it's amazing. And it's also great if you want to record something on a Mac and give it to somebody on Linux or a Windows box.
You said that you recorded an album on Adobe Audition and a laptop.
I did. Dell gave me a complimentary laptop to play with, an 8200 Inspiron, and I used Adobe Audition to record my last CD, which is called Limited Edition, and it's available on Amazon.com.
So you're not working for record companies anymore. You're doing your own
thing.
No,
I became a record company. I bought a book on how to become a record company, and it was pretty simple. Because basically, when you have a record company, the only thing they're good for is promotion, and they are great at that. They're wonderful for promotion. They can get you on Leno and Letterman and all that, but they take all the money.
Yes.
And so you get the publicity and they get the money.
You get nothing else.
I thought, I'd rather have the money. Thanks.
Yes. You know. Yeah, not that, but he gets to screw himself.
Yeah.
Well, I get to take myself out to dinner. You know,
right. It's like, and charge it to myself.
Yeah, Camilla and I go out to dinner and go, the record company's paying for this. Isn't this great? We love it.
Do you think more artists will kind of move in this direction? I mean,
I do. Now that the equipment is getting affordable for everybody, I mean, anybody can buy a Pro Tools or Adobe Audition setup and record an album now. And you don't need to. See, the thing was before you had to sell your soul to the company store to get the money to record because it costs $1,000 a day to do it. Now it costs nothing a day.
Right.
So, you know, it levels the playing field for artists. It's really
Nor do you need them for distribution anymore, really.
Not really, no. You've got Amazon.com. I mean, that's a perfect international distribution system.
How hard is it to get yourself on, like, iTunes or Napster services
I signed I'm not sure what the, you know, threshold is, but it was easy for me to get into it. I got, like, a one-stop thing that got me on iTunes and all the other ones, eMusic, and so it
helps to be a brand name artist.
Yeah, it helps if you got some name recognition. Yeah, I'm not sure how easy it would be for just, you know.
Roger, you used a third party service
For what?
To get onto iTunes, or did you deal with Apple directly?
I did not go to Apple directly. I went with eMusic first.
Okay.
Yeah,
eMusic is great.
Yeah.
Are they still around? Do they?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a neat idea, and that's what Michael Rogers did before Linspire was MP3.com, and I mean, all of those, I mean, that's what we need.
Yeah, MP3.com is part of CNET now. eMusic, it's free, and it's not free, but it's actually
it's a good
DRM
deal.
Free
yeah.
music, yeah.
Yeah.
Consistent rumors that at some point Apple is going to do this with iTunes. They're going to make some channel in GarageBand that you push a button, and you sell your stuff on iTunes.
That'd be cool, yeah. Wow.
Would that be the kind of thing? You'd need.
I've already gone another level where we send it to a pressing plant.
Right.
And
you've got actual
burn
CDs,
real CDs, and sell them at gigs and online. So I'm not sure how long people are going to want them. Although this next project we're doing is something that people will want because it's got a 40-page color booklet and a lot of information that you can't really get by downloading.
That's the one thing I miss. I used to sit and we would, you know.
Yeah, look at the album covers.
Look at the album cover.
Yeah, right.
I have one of your albums you have covered kindly autographed on the wall.
Yeah.
John brought it back for me, and that was really great.
I saw it on, I actually had a Netcam in your office at one time, and I saw it on the wall. I went, that's pretty cool.
Well, I think it's pretty cool, too. You think that the days of the record companies are numbered, or do you think that they still have a place?
Oh, well, they still have a place, but their place is not what it used to be, because they can't really own you as easily because artists can afford to record their own stuff now and distribute it. But there's still a place for them. I know a kid who just signed with a record label and he's got a band and he's going to do that. And
did you make money off the old records? I mean,
you know, the deals back in the 60s were really bad. I think it's my personal take on a Byrds album is something like 0.0003 cents.
Sounds like my book deals.
Per album, right. Wow. But I have to say, and I can't bash the record company.
Like your book deals.
Yeah, but the difference is Roger actually wrote the music, so that's
But we've made subsequent deals, and they've done a lot of reissues, and so I can't bash the record companies. They do pay royalties. And we
subsequently.
Get,
but
and you get a fat ASCAP check every month, don't you?
I'm BMI. Camilla's ASCAP. You know what?
He just wanted to say fat ASCAP. Don't.
Yeah, you just like that, right?
Yeah. Don't do that.
But you do get a fat check.
BMI
BMI
is good, yeah. Be a month good.
Yeah, I said, I've been trying to get for years, trying to find out what this check amount is.
He's trying to find out what I'm worth for years. He's
like, I've never been able to get that number.
I don't like
because I think all
that.
These guys yeah. make BMI or ASCAP. Now, would you say ASCAP doesn't give you a royalty?
I'm not with ASCAP. Camilla's with ASCAP, and I'm with BMI, and we write songs together. My wife, Camilla.
I know.
And sometimes she gets more than I do on the same song, which I can't figure out.
But she comes from ASCAP.
Yeah, she gets more on ASCAP than I get on BMI.
That's
but
cookie.
We told that to BMI, and then I got a big fat check from them. So I don't know.
In other words, they're just making this up as they go along.
It's a slush fund, right?
It's like, well, we'll give him more. Okay.
Well, anyway, for people out there who want to know, artists are paid. Based on radio play and a bunch of other things.
Well,
radios have
right,
to play.
Radio stations
important.
Have to pay into
not
it.
Not artists. The people who own the publishing rights. And that's
right.
kind
publishers.
Of a big... Because, you know, I once we had...
Frank Sinatra.
So when you're listening to free music on
money.
The radio, you are... Somebody's paying... The money gets split out in
but not
some
to the performer.
Mysterious way.
Not to the performer.
Yeah, and it's
right.
mysterious. That's why I've been trying to get this number from
right.
him, but I'm never.
Oh yeah, that's
it.
Why.
No, it is why. I don't.
So Frank Sinatra never like, made any royalty.
Well,
money?
He, all his life he tried to get performance royalties, and he never pulled it off.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's kind of sad.
I'm sure he made money, but he didn't make it that way.
I remember we had the captain. Of the Captain and Tennille on the Screensavers once. That was the best we could aspire to. Now that we've met you, I think we don't have to go that way. But yeah, I asked him, well, you know, do you mind people stealing your music? He said, I couldn't care less. Neil Sedaka gets all the money anyway, right?
So yeah, it doesn't Daryl cost... Dragon, right.
Daryl Dragon, yeah. You know, he's a producer now.
And
you know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I went to the Senate, and they asked me about MP3s. It was the Senate Judiciary Committee. Is there an upside to downloading? And I said... Downloading is not bad for artists. It's bad for record companies. You know,
and
I have no problem with
distinction.
It. You know,
but they try to pass the whole thing. They try to make it look like you're hurting the artists. And the
yeah, that's what bugged me, that they were saying the poor artist isn't getting the royalties. Well, they were never getting the royalties, so
right.
it
right.
was about them not getting
the
royalties.
How can we screw the artist if you screw them?
Yeah, right. We're busy screwing the artists. Stop getting in our way. You know? Well, would you tell people who, I mean, there are a lot of people listening who download music that they shouldn't download from... Illegal, you
well,
know,
you know, I took that side and I got sued by somebody for, you know, like saying that, like it's cool to download. So I'm really, you know, have to be careful.
Let's not say anything. Yeah, yeah, we don't want to get
but
sued.
Personally, I it doesn't hurt me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or Daryl Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two. But there's a lot of people like Janice Ian who've been very outspoken.
She's on the side of that, yeah. And quite a few other artists there.
Yeah.
Sitting next to me was Lars from...
Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, from
who was
Metallica.
The other side.
He was on the other side. I don't think he got it. I just don't think he got it.
I agree with that. I don't think he did either.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, these guys still can't face the reality that during the heyday of Napster, the record sales were actually increasing because I still believe to this... I'll never not believe this because I've seen it happen to me. When you were on Napster, you could see, you'd find some guy who had a song that you wanted, and then you'd check out his collection, and you'd see he has your taste, and then you'd see, what's this? I've never heard of this group.
Yeah.
You'd check it out, and you'd say, wow, these guys are great, and you'd go buy the album. Or my wife, for example, doesn't buy CDs. And even if, you know, and then it seems to me that the latest thing they want to do is kill off iTunes by, you know, these guys are now dicking with Apple to tell them, well, you know, maybe we should have a variable rate structure. Let's charge a buck and a half. You know, some of the newer songs should be more expensive. I'm thinking the newer songs should be more expensive. Old songs should be more expensive. The new songs, they should be pushing them out there.
Yeah, actually, I don't mind if they charge $1.50 for Britney Spears as long as I can. Seriously, as long as I can get. And that actually makes, maybe that structure does make some
sense.
Well, if it makes sense for the record companies, let them have it.
Because if I can screw Apple out of this lucrative.
But if I can buy the Temptations for 30 cents a record, I don't care that I can't buy Britney Spears for a buck, you know, that it'll cost me $1.50.
Do you buy that Apple iTunes is losing money on selling music? Because
there's a lot of analysts that say that.
You know why I buy it? And actually, I won't say where I got this from, but it's somebody we know. The problem that people don't think about is, yeah, they get the 60-30 split, right?
Yeah.
But it's not even that. The bandwidth. Mm-hmm. They pay a lot of money to Akamai for
hidden,
the download bandwidth.
Hidden costs,
there's
right.
a hidden cost that nobody takes into account.
BitTorrent. I just did a column for PC Magazine, I should mention, that where I discussed this Apple iTunes RIAA issue. And I believe that the RIAA started to screw with Apple, not because of the money or anything else. I think it has to do with the fact that all of a sudden, because when they began iTunes, it was like, oh, there's a lark, you know, Apple's going to sell stuff online, who cares? And, you know, if nothing else, we'll get a check in the mail. Then they started to realize that, hey, wait a minute, there's an awful lot of songs going through this Apple system, and now we have a third party that we don't control
That's right.
accounting for numbers. they can bring out numbers and say, well, it looks like this group sold this many, and this group sold that many. And meanwhile, the groups are getting screwed out of their royalties by these crazy bookkeeping schemes that both publishing companies and record companies employ to make it look like you're not making any money.
Yeah, they got some tricks.
They got all kinds of cool tricks. Right. But now with third parties, with independent numbers that can be just kicked out of a computer like that, the record companies are going, oh, my God, we're going to be found out. We've got to kill this now.
Didn't Sony just get busted for payola like a month ago?
Oh, they got all those companies.
Yeah, there was a big prosecution. Anyway,
but they say that hasn't happened since the 50s.
Apparently, it's happening all the time.
Yeah, probably. They haven't been busted since the 50s.
Yeah, big record companies come to me all the time saying, "Would you play our songs on Twit?" But I always say no. not yet. Anyway, you guys have any other stories you're excited about? I mean, all the old guys are on this side of the table. Maybe we should talk to the young guys.
Sitting here in the Apple store, apparently a couple days ago, I wasn't privy to it, but a couple days ago you could buy a Mac Mini and try it out. What happened to that?
The one-day Mac Mini test drive. They pulled it out. They pulled out the plug in 24 hours.
Is it because too many people were doing it, or because they were worried? I'm guessing it's because too many people were doing it.
That's what I was thinking.
And maybe they couldn't keep up. Or is it because they're not
customers? I come in. All the Mac Minis have been,
they're all gone.
I'd be annoyed, and I would maybe they might lose a sale or something. And I could see where you
raises a couple of questions. First of all, why they did it? Do they are mini sales slowing down, and they feel like they need to prod them, or what? Well, first, why did they think of the idea?
I think there's just a lot of people that are sitting there. You know, they have the extra money. They're not sure if they quite want to buy it. And when you throw out the 30-day return, why
not? It's a good promotion, because how many people are ever going to return it, right? Nobody returns these
things. It's a cool box. It's really
cool. Yeah, it is cool.
I mean, so it's a sensible promotion. I mean, people have been doing this for years. You have free money-back guarantee. Nobody ever takes a money-back guarantee. So it just gives you the security, well, I'll buy it. And if I don't like it, at least I can always take it back. And very few people, I'm sure, do. Do you think, I mean, it was too soon to have abuse. It couldn't have been that somebody was abusing. It was only 24 hours.
It got dug.
That's what happened. AJ says it got dug. It did get dug.
Yeah, it was on the homepage. A lot of people were buying them.
You think so?
Well, I mean, not all from Dig, but there was definitely a lot of interest. I saw it was picked up all over the place, all these different blogs. And, I mean, a ton of people were hitting that site, you know, I'm sure buying the minis. So
it's not going to be a closeout item, though, is it? Where they're just trying to get rid of them for a new item that's coming up?
Well, I wonder. Look, they said they were going to have the Intel minis would be the first, and they would have them by mid-2006. My prediction is they'll have it by January for Macworld Expo. And surprise everybody, right?
Is that going to be 64-bit?
Well, no. That's the problem. It's 32-bit. No. They're moving backwards. But not that anybody needed 64-bit particularly. Yeah. But
it should be a Centrino processor on that.
That would be a good choice for that, wouldn't it?
A low-power Centrino. It should be a Pentium processor.
Yeah, because it's very low heat.
Simple choice for them.
They don't need the Yona. They don't need anything
more. Well, they don't want to use Centrino.
Not Celeron, Centrino.
No, Centrino. That's the Wi-Fi chip.
Yeah, that's why I backed.
They got a closed deal with Broadcom. They're not going to switch to it.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Centrino. You're right. It would be a Celeron, a Pentium
M.
Yeah. Well, that would be a good product. I would buy that.
Sure.
So you think that that's what happened? Well, no, because they want to get these. Maybe they cleared them all out already.
Yeah, maybe
they're
done. 100,000, and
that's
boom.
Are there any Mac Minis here? Has anybody looked to see if they've got Mac Minis?
Quick, someone run downstairs.
Bring us all the Mac Minis. Are you out of Mac Minis downstairs? They got Mac Minis down here, so I guess that throws that one out the door.
Well, they're going to know in 30 days what percentage of the people that decided to do the trial got in.
Nobody returns those.
I bet you the vast majority of them.
You think? The only time people return them is where they go to Best Buy and they buy a product and they, you know, it's like I used to know somebody who would buy shoes at Nordstrom and then she'd tape the bottom of them so they wouldn't get dirty and then bring them back after the prom the next day.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who do that with Best Buy, right? They buy a product.
I do that sometimes.
Buy a DV camera, shoot the wedding and bring it back.
Yeah.
There are a lot of TVs sold right before the Super Bowl.
It works. Yeah.
Why not all those tags?
But nobody would do that with a mini. I mean, there's no reason you need a mini for, you know, a couple of weeks.
So it sounds like a good way to sell Mac Minis then.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's a good promotion, so why'd they kill it?
It's also the most affordable Mac there is, so you're given a really easy way to try it out.
And it makes sense.
For promotion, but the reason they probably killed it was just simply
too
supply
successful.
And demand, and like John mentioned, just simply having irate customers show up looking
for the
deal,
store,
and it's not there. But, of course you get it here.
It's kind of a weird thing. You don't expect a big retailer like Apple to do something like that.
Maybe Steve didn't sign off on it before it went live.
Maybe. I keep expecting Steve to show up, you know, like he's going to come
there,
and say,
there.
What are you doing here?
I just took off.
Oh.
Just peeked around the corner.
I said, oh, my God, there's media. All right. Well, that's okay. Any other issues, you guys?
Text America has a couple of really cool sites about Katrina.
Let's talk about Katrina a little bit. Yeah.
They came out with safekatrina.com and missingkatrina.com on Text America, and they actually have people down there taking pictures with cell phones and uploading them. They actually go to where there's internet connectivity.
I went right away to Text America because I thought, well, there'll be a lot of pictures, but then I realized there's no cell signal. So how are they getting these things out?
They have actually. I talked to Chris, who's the founder of Text America, today, and he said that they have 400 pictures that they've taken of people that are safe, and they're going to be posting them. They're actually driving to where there's internet connectivity and then uploading the pictures. So.
T-Mobile has offered free Wi-Fi if you can get, but there's no power. They're saying now 2 months before the power is restored to New Orleans. 2 months.
Yeah.
80 days before it's pumped out.
And who was the person who sent out the press release about WiMAX being a way to save people?
Somebody did that?
Well, this was like somebody sent out a news story. Like,
we could get you a signal.
If there was WiMAX, people would have internet in New Orleans.
At least those who haven't lost their battery yet.
Well, yeah, and that's like the person who's saying WiMAX is going to, is going to make internet, all across Africa. And it's like, well, we need electricity first and computers.
More hamsters.
Yeah. And
So
I know we have a lot of listeners, by the way, in that area, the whole Gulf area, and so our prayers and thoughts go out to you if you're listening at all. I mean, tons of people listening down there. It was really kind of neat to see how quickly the net responded. I was looking at the Red Cross page. Every time you went back, it'd be another $5 million. They're well
over. Yeah, they're getting a lot of money, but, FEMA wouldn't even let them into New Orleans.
That's what I heard. Now, what's the story?
It's on the redcross.org site.
They couldn't get in.
Apparently, FEMA wouldn't let the Red Cross in. FEMA wouldn't let the there's a bunch of...
Maybe that was to protect them.
Oh, yeah. And there's a bunch of airboat guys that wanted to get in to save people off the roofs. And there were people on regular boats wanted to save people. And they were called renegade boaters. They didn't want them. No, it was all done by Homeland Security because these were all security issues.
But if there's guys running around with guns shooting at people.
No. Yeah, there is guys running around with guns. But it was 3 days before before FEMA showed up in Manhattan.
Yeah.
When the trade centers didn't down. 72-plus hours.
FEMA's broke.
FEMA may be broke. FEMA may be broken. But the point is if it wasn't for civilian response after
9/11.
After 9/11, things would have been a lot nastier than they were.
Yeah.
And the idea, it's a horrible and it's scary, and people are behaving in unconscionable manner down there. But the flip side is, like, why are you preventing a civilian? You know what I mean? It's like, I get it. You want it nice. You want it organized. You want it check boxes. You want your 724
it's a Big Brother phenomenon. File. They won't let people help themselves. I mean, I was blogging a lot of this stuff. So
isn't
it's kind
that
of
what
annoying.
George Bush is all about?
Let's there's an issue here, and it has to be resolved. And the thing is, I think there's going to be a lot of moaning and groaning over the next few months.
Very dramatic blog.
The fact that Condoleezza Rice was shopping for shoes 2 days after the hurricane hit is ridiculous.
And she was taping the bottom of
them. No, she wasn't.
Oh, man.
They had to roust her from the shoe store because some woman apparently came up to her and started berating her for being in New York. You know about this?
No.
Yeah, she was in New York most of the time. She berated her, and apparently the store, Secret Service got freaked out, and they whisked her back to Washington because everyone was, like, yelling at the woman.
Did you read there was an amazing blog from Network a center. It was DirectNIC in downtown.
Right,
in
their
New
downtown.
Orleans.
They had
amazing.
They
pictures.
Had their own generator.
And they, they're talking. The trucks are coming with more fuel. We'll help. We don't run out of fuel.
Well, there's a live cam.
It's amazing.
You could watch.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a building that caught on fire a couple days ago, and they had it on the cam. It's thing burning.
I saw that.
Well, I mean, there's an example of citizen journalism. I mean, this long before the mainstream media were able to cover this story, and before anybody was in there to rescue, we were seeing what was going on from blogs and people who were there, and this Text America thing is a good example. I mean, it's really quite amazing.
I was never a big fan of the idea that bloggers are going to be the new journalists of any sort. I'm still not completely convinced, but I have to say they've done a much better job than the general media. And you do have to kind of edit it yourself because there's guys that are just full of crap on there.
They're not. I don't think journalist is the right word. It's a new. It's citizen. It's covering the story.
It's somebody that's there and recording what they see and talking about it.
They're storytellers.
Yeah, but it's participatory journalism. It's people who are part of the story,
right?
Telling the story, and that's fine for journalists then to come in and make sense of it or analyze it if they do a decent job of it. But the fact is that the primary sources now are so much better than they used to be. I mean, you're really seeing stuff,
and they're faster.
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah,
I think it's just fascinating.
Like we got this guy here. Reporting on me right now.
Exactly. So, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of
people. Dvorak just said that Rice was in the shoe store. Can you believe this? Left wing, what am I?
Well, that is one of the scary
liberal
things.
Jerk.
And we've seen that happen, too, where there's this kind of wave of public opinion that's influenced by completely fallacious blogs. And right. That's another problem.
Definitely.
That's a whole other issue. But I think people are going to get smarter about what they believe.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No evidence.
There's no evidence of people getting smarter. Actually, talking about Katrina, who was it that was telling me that their company is going to do... Come on over here. In fact, let me get the handheld mic. We all know Scott very well from resellerratings.com. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Great. Oh,
I have to turn you up. I forgot. I don't have Rayvon here anymore.
Hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So resellerratings.com, great site where you guys publish ratings of the companies that sell stuff online.
Yeah, you can go to our site and read reviews of merchants before you buy online and compare prices.
And what are you doing for Katrina?
So what we're doing is we're matching donations to the Red Cross up to $10,000.
That's really good.
So we're trying to raise a total of $20,000.
Resellerratings.com.
Yeah, just go to our homepage and click on the banner there, and there'll be instructions. It's really easy.
Cool.
Just donate, forward your receipt
to
us.
That's true. You're seeing a lot of companies doing that, doing matching donations. In fact, if you're going to do a donation, you should probably check to see if your company's doing matching. Did you see Clorox is giving $1 for everybody who goes to the Clorox site and clicks? There's some new detergent or something. You click and they're giving away $1. I mean, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, might as well. How are things going in reseller ratings?
And really good. We're focusing more on the fraud, you know, preventing fraudulent reviews and working on the shopping engine and deals. And so it's
great
good
to see you again.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Good to see you guys. Your success out here. It's a great show.
Twitifying. It is pretty amazing. I don't know how this happened. As long as we're talking to people, Sal Segoyan is here. Let me, here, Matt, why don't you bring that mic over to Sal? Matt Grenowitzki.
Grenowitzki.
Grenowitzki is our... We have a Twit intern, ladies and gentlemen.
I am so honored to be here.
This is Sal Segoyan. Sal is the king of Apple Talk, the Apple Talk product manager at Apple, and a great guy, and I learned a lot about Apple Talk. Apple Talk. I think that would be a bad product.
I think the Apple Talk product manager is a very lonely guy
long gone. The Apple Script product manager. And I learned a lot from you on the last Mac Mania.
On the Geek Cruise,
The Geek Cruise, yeah. It was incredible.
That was wonderful.
And you showed me Automator before it came out in Tiger, and that is amazing.
Ixnay.
I'm sorry, you didn't show me anything. I know nothing.
What was that again?
That'll be expunged from the record.
No, wait a minute. Let me think. That wasn't so long ago. It was after Tiger came out. Right. So how are things going now?
Automator's taken off like crazy. It's really, acceptance has been incredible. It's actually raised awareness about AppleScript, and we have more interest in AppleScript and Automator than we ever had before.
I love AppleScript. I mean, for automating your workflows, for getting stuff done, it's just really nice to have that nice high-level language. I find myself doing more and more in AppleScript and less in Perl or Shell. You know, it's just really great.
It's very approachable. I mean, you don't have to really get down and dirty with it so much. It's English-like language that lets you control applications and the computer itself.
We missed you on the last Geek Cruise.
Yes.
Are you going on the next one?
Oh, yeah. I'll be on the Geek Cruise to Acapulco, and I'll be on the following one to the Mediterranean.
Oh, you're going
to...
See, I haven't decided about the Mediterranean, but I'm going
you got to go.
I'm going on the Mexican Riviera. That's in February, and the Mediterranean is in July, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's geekcruises.com.
Yes.
Give them a little plug. Because Waz will be there with us as well,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, and I'll be teaching a class again on AppleScript and one on Automator as well.
Oh,
and it was
fun.
The highlight of my life that Waz took the AppleScript class and showed up for the second day.
It was so cool. That was so cool. Waz is amazing. Waz goes
amazing
to the
cat.
He shows up on these cruises and then goes to the classes, which is like, what? Don't you know all this already?
Did all the scripts and everything else.
That's great. That's really great. Well, Sal, it's nice to see you. Thank you.
Really appreciate
by.
It. Yeah, thanks for everybody for showing up at the Apple Store today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a nice crowd we got here, I'll tell you. Is Arlo around? Where's Arlo? Arlo Rose, are you here? Because I wanted to say hi to Arlo, too. Here's coming up. Here, you can give Arlo the mic. Go on over to the Bozo nose and talk into the nose. We got a red muff on our mic, so it's easy to find. Arlo
Put
Rose.
Up the red nose microphone.
Arlo created Confabulator. Don't you love Confabulator? Isn't it incredible? And of course, Apple kind of, we won't say ripped you off, but Dashboard. But I have to say,
I will.
All right. Patrick will call us.
I can't comment on that.
I understand. But I have to say, I used Dashboard for a while, and I went back to Confabulator because I like the additional functionality, the ability to see it all the time or put it on the desktop and stuff like that really makes it a more useful product. So you just sold, though, the company to who?
To Yahoo.
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 So did you say,
get old,
when
the
they called, did you go, yeah, who?
It's actually kind of a long story that began with Microsoft and ended with Yahoo. I can't really tell the story, but let's just say that we'd much rather work at Yahoo than Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah. Because you do offer it for Windows and Macintosh.
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing a cross-platform version, which the whole reason was because we love the Mac platform dearly, and we wanted to make sure that as many people could get their hands on it as possible to create really cool widgets.
That would be cross-platform?
That would be cross-platform. So the more people that made it for Windows, the more people got to use it on the Mac. And it was a real amazing success. And now with the whole Yahoo involvement, it's crazy. We get hundreds of submissions a day to the gallery. And we're just making our way through them.
Wow.
And we get millions and millions of downloads a week of these guys. It's
very
really
similar
cool.
to Dashboard. You write in JavaScript. You create resources that are images and so forth. It's very similar to the Dashboard development model.
Yep. Yeah. It's actually pretty much identical, minus the fact that we use XML and they use DHTML as
right.
the base.
Right.
But with our next version, we can do some really cool stuff that actually makes them more dashboard-like with the embedded views. And we're doing some stuff with Yahoo login technology so that if you're a Yahoo user, you can have persistent preferences if you log into your machine. So you have all sorts of cool widgets up on your desktop at work. You can have them up on your same ones at home with the same information, same positions
like
and everything.
Oh, I really like
It's going to be really cool. We've got a really great developer who just came on board who does really neat game widgets. He's on the audience over there, and named Rob Marquardt, and he's hopefully going to do some really cool stuff with us, too. A great widget developer. Really great guy.
The thing I like the best is Yahoo's giving it away now.
Yeah, totally free. Yeah. Download it. Do whatever you want to with it. Make cool widgets. Give it to your friends. Put it on CDs. Well, wait. Yeah, something like that.
You can do that, right? That's allowed.
Yeah.
KonFabulator.com. Yeah, always been one of my favorites, and I like it that it's free now.
Yeah, and you know, we love you for that. If it wasn't for the screensavers, our Windows beta program, I don't know what would have happened. That day that you talked about it,
yeah. We
had thousands and thousands of people within minutes signing up for our program.
Was that the day you made the widget of me, the looking Leo?
No,
widget?
No,
that was another
was
time.
About a year after
okay,
that. Okay,
yeah.
So
I still use that widget. We got to update it because it points to the Tech TV search.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's no good.
I'll do an update of it this weekend.
No, it's all right. Thank you. It's great to see you, Arlo.
See
I'm
you
glad
again.
You were here. Yeah,
good
yeah.
Good to see you too, Patrick.
Congratulations on the success of Confabulator. I'm glad.
Yeah,
good things sometimes happen. It was might have been a little bit of a curve, but
definitely.
No road. But that's
but it was
all
worth it.
In the show notes.
It was worth it.
Oh, are you doing the show notes today, Patrick? I hope you
will
are.
Will there still be a paid version?
No. It's going to be, something I probably shouldn't say, but I will. There will never be a pay version again. There will never be Yahoo advertising built into the product or the widgets.
Yes.
And we hopefully, and I can't promise this, but there will hopefully never be Yahoo advertising on any of our websites because we're in a business section that is not slated to make money. We will be making widgets that are like the Spider-Man 3 widget, probably, but that's not something you need to download if you don't want to.
And you don't have to be a Yahoo member to download it?
No, definitely not.
But I like the additional functionality of if you are a Yahoo member, your widgets are on all your machines. Do I have to then download the widget on each machine, or does it automatically
I'm not actually sure how that part of it's going to work just yet. It might actually be something we keep on the server and then spread around if it's something you have installed.
That's kind of neat, because then you're really customizing your desktop.
Yeah, it'll be great. And you'll be able to do cool stuff with your actual, like, your Yahoo Finance stuff will show up in your stock ticker. Your regular Yahoo weather stuff will show up in your weather widget. And, again, don't have to be a Yahoo member to use it.
So, basically, the business model from Yahoo's perspective is to do the things like the Spider-Man gimmick so they can, like,
It's actually, that's not the business model for Yahoo for this is that we're opening up all sorts of web XML APIs right now. And what we want to do is use this as the starting point for getting people hooked on them and doing really cool projects with them. So you download Confabulator, you learn how to do, you know, the YPhoto stuff with the XML APIs for YPhoto, and then you go and add it to your application, and then suddenly a lot of people are using YPhoto that didn't necessarily know about it before, and now we've got more customers going to YPhoto.
So they're using it as a conduit for other services.
Okay. Exactly.
There was a little bit, and I kind of am, you know, sensitive to this, a complaint among Flickr users, that's YPhoto.
Right.
That in order
No, it's actually totally separate.
Oh, it is separate.
Yeah.
They're not going to merge the two?
They might.
Here was my issue. I'm a Flickr user, and all of a sudden I have to sign up to have a Yahoo account to keep using
Well,
they were trying to get people to sign up to Yahoo.
Eventually, but you don't have to.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm a Flickr Pro user. I don't want to kind of merge. I mean, I'm a Yahoo account too, but I just don't. You know, Flickr.
You want the separation.
I think the problem really was there isn't really any disadvantage to Flickr users. It's just Flickr users are kind of anti-corporate. We don't want it to be part of a bigger
right.
company, I guess,
right.
is the issue.
Right.
So it's not, those aren't going
to be. Doesn't it have to do with your code name on Flickr, Big Daddy?
That's my private Flickr account. Now somebody with Big Daddy is going to be getting a lot of...
That's actually mine.
I'm Big Daddy.
I believe there is a Twit widget, but I may be wrong. Is there a Confabulator widget for Twit?
No.
I believe there is, but maybe not.
There will be shortly.
Exactly. Yes, before this show comes out. Hey, thank you, Arlo. It's nice to see you. Let's bring Alex Lindsay up here, too. Can we make an announcement, Alex? Would it be premature to make an announcement? Here, go over to the microphone. Would it be premature to make an announcement, Alex, about what we're doing together or no?
No, it's fine.
Can we say that?
Yeah.
Alex Lindsay, you may remember from Call for Help. In fact, he's still on Call for Help, the Canadian version, which is now back on G4.
We just noticed because of the emails that I get.
All of a sudden.
straight into it.
Yeah. It's on a weird time. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m.
Seems to be
Pacific.
Effective either way.
But it's, hey, at least it's back in the United States, so we're happy about that. Alex is our Photoshop guy, and he's, you know, he does Pixel Core, which is an amazing idea, which is getting people all over the world involved in 2 and 3D graphics design and learning how to do it. But then once they become skilled, they become part of the Pixel Core, getting
more jobs, more of the guild.
It's a guild, right? Yeah.
So, I mean, the idea was that, you know, 500 years ago when you wanted to build a castle, there are a handful of guilds that you would go find. You know, so you try to...
The Masons Guild and the painters and... Yeah.
All of those different things. And right now, for our industry, there isn't anything like that.
Right.
There's no way to find any... Sure, you can find one or two great ones. You just can't find 500 of them.
Right.
Which is what we're interested in. So we kind of...
And they're all over the world. I mean, you've got Africa, you've got Asia.
Yeah, we've had 36 countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Alex and I are going to start something in a couple of weeks.
Mac Break.
It's a new half-hour internet-only television show.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, on Macintosh.
Oh.
So we're really excited about that. And Roger, whenever you're in town, we'd love to have you on the show,
by the way. Thank you.
We're going to videotape it across the street. I think over across Market.
Yeah, our offices are like 100 feet from here. So,
And we're going to do the first one in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, at the end of September, and then it should come up in October.
Where,
so it's the first one.
Is there going to be a website? How will people find out when it's available?
We're going to put out announcements, but it'll be macbreak.com.
Okay.
It's not up yet, but it'll be going up. There'll actually be some short daily stuff that starts coming out. So you'll start seeing stuff, hopefully, on the iTunes music, or, you know, on iTunes
on podcast
channel.
And so
on and so forth, that are little videos that kind of get people prepped for it. And then that'll, you know, kind of build towards the full show.
I'm really excited about that. That's, you know, all of us as Twits, that's really what we're excited about, is the idea of IP content delivery. And, you know, I've been doing audio and Kevin's been doing video. I just really think this is the future.
Well, the more you research it, the big thing is you have to question whether there is any future in TV
at all.
Why bother? Is what you're gonna is what I kind of start seeing more and more of, because you're I don't have a TV. I mean, everything I get is IP.
Right.
So everything I watch on my laptop
I got.
We're just testing the little Elgato thing, which seems to work pretty well. You know, where you can take your cable and record it. You can turn your Mac Mini into a DVR.
That's the iTV.
Right.
Are you using the HD version or just the regular 500?
We got 500? The HD version.
You did.
So it's
that, Roger? Do you watch IPTV at all?
Yes, I do. In fact, I watch it all the time, and I download Kevin's stuff, and I watch it in the van. I burn it to video CDs and play it on a 20-inch LCD.
I think that's the future.
That's what I do.
And the thing is, before there was constrained distribution. So you had broadcast stations, or you had cable networks, and the issue now, though, is with BitTorrent. I mean, most people think of BitTorrent as this way to pass pirated stuff around, but really, when you look at what BitTorrent does, is it lets any of us, you know, it breaks that entire distribution wall down to, instead of, if I had a show that was, say, 500 megs, and I put it out to 500,000 people, that's $100,000 of distribution that it would cost just to upload it. With BitTorrent, it's $500,
and that's
an entirely different reality, and that means any of us could make shows, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, we'll see. MacBreak.com, and that's coming up later in September. I'm not competing with you, Kevin. It's all of us in there together.
That's right.
In there
more
together.
The better, I think. You know?
Oh, I agree.
Absolutely.
I love Command-N.
Command-N.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Mike and Amber do that.
Right.
And, of course, Dignation has video, which is very popular. Now we're going to have video of
there
Twit.
We go.
Now, is this going to be, Kevin, you're going to do this on a regular basis? This is a trial.
Yeah, we're going to try and do it probably once a month just to start. And then it depends on how much time Keith has. He's so busy.
It all comes down to Keith.
Yeah.
He's the kind of the bottleneck. He's got to video it. He's got to edit it. He's got to produce it. He's got to get it out, right?
Yeah.
Can you get another Keith? Or is there only one?
There's only one Keith.
There's only one
Keith. What do you use to edit?
I don't want to say because this is a
Premiere.
Mac store.
Premiere. They use Premiere.
Premiere Pro. But Premiere we're trying Pro. To get a Mac. We're going to get a G5. Keith wants to get on a G5 as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And use like...
Final Cut.
Final Cut.
The only way, right?
Yeah.
Or is that what you would use, Keith, is Final Cut? Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so? Yeah. We should get, Keith should turn the camera around.
Interview.
Yes.
I wanted to say one more thing about IPTV. I used to really want like a DirecTV satellite thing for our moving vehicle.
Yeah.
And now I don't need it. I really, you know, all I used to do is I'd record the screensavers and, you know, like or I would watch it.
Right.
If I had that, I would watch it and it's not there. So why bother?
Well, if we do the screensavers again, it's very likely we'll do it on IPTV.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that would be the logical way to do it. Patrick's doing video. In fact, I've watched a few of them now, and you got the audio working, and it's pretty. I'm now liking it a lot. I mean, you really got a great job.
Can I have a Dvorak moment here?
Please.
DigitalLifeTV.com, episode 4, we do live on Tuesday, available for download Tuesday night.
And Patrick was not at work in the last Twit.
You did a masterful editing
you
job.
Would never
that.
Know.
No.
Oh.
You would never know. Would
by
you?
The way,
yeah,
the mic that you love so much for Skype,
$3
straight from China. You can use $75 headset
or
$3 one, and Leo will like the $3 one better.
It sounded really good.
Isn't that scary?
And it wasn't USB or anything. You just plugged it in.
It was
the
plugged straight into the notebook.
You know what I would like to do is give the people in the audience a chance to ask questions. So why don't we put Matt? Why don't we put that mic in the stand? And if people, or actually, hold on to it, Matt, and you can actually get to them. Maybe
that'd be easier.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier. Because they're all over the place. So if you've got a question.
Wireless for Netflix.
Yeah, that's next the time. Next step is wireless. And I also need a phone interface. And I need a microphone for the guitars and the saxophones. Do you want to play a little bit for us? A little bit,
Yeah, I'll play
Roger?
Just a little bit. You know, like, let's see what.
I'll hold my microphone.
Can you play that wild riff of 8 miles high on the 7th string?
Yeah, I can do that. But I'll tell you what.
You weren't here, John, when I was saying
hold your mic up to the guitar.
We got to have a mic on the. Here, give me the little red mic. And I'll be your mic stand. That sounds beautiful.
I really should be. I should put my leg up here because it's hard to in this position.
I was telling you weren't here, John, yet, but I was saying that the last time I saw Roger McGuinn was 1975 at the Rolling Thunder Review with Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, and Mick Ronson. And he played 8 miles high, and I was, in fact,
really
8 miles high.
Ah.
I think I saw God that night, actually. Roger McGuinn. Now, I should ask, is that podcast safe?
Yeah, it's cool.
You own that?
Yeah,
you own that. You give me the rights to...
Yeah, you've got the rights, yeah.
Hey, thank you, Ben Williamson and Apple. We really thank Apple Stores for allowing us to use their facility for our very first Twit recorded in front of a live audience. We thank all of you for being here. This is really great. Now, we just gave away an iPod, and we also, thanks to Apple, but we also gave away a bunch of these Twit hoodies, and I, you know, I'll be honest, Ben called me and said, well, your sweatshirts have arrived. I said, my what? Because I was going to get pocket protectors, and I apologize to you all, but they didn't come in time. They're ordered, but of course, everything takes longer than you think. We'll have them certainly by our next live broadcast, December 18th at Noonan's, and I hope you'll come for that. But this, these sweatshirts which came from a listener.
Yeah.
It says, Leo and Crew, congrats on your first live show. I hope it's a success. Please enjoy these sweatshirts there, and thanks for all of the entertaining shows. You might think it's an odd color choice, but this is actually reflective ink. So take a photo of somebody wearing it with a flash, and you'll see what I mean. They'll say, twit! Twit!
Subliminal.
Subliminal twit.
Or jump out in front of traffic.
Yeah, that's right. Then they'll hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a flash picture of me, John.
Close the other one.
Oh, yeah, so I have to zip up my twits. I use this technique, he says, I use this technique for a great deal of the bands that I do, and it works great in the surf skate industry as well. John's checking to see if it'll work.
That's dead sexy.
It's dead sexy. I love it. So we want to thank Chris Siglin of Capistrano Beach. Thank you, Chris, for the shirts. These are great, the sweatshirts.
Cool.
And Chris, if you send me, I'll send you an email, Chris, but if you send me information about your company or business, if you want, we'll put a plug on the show notes.
In fact, we'll do that for anybody who wants to give us free things.
Anything you give us for free. We don't take advertising, but we take crap.
Yep.
As long as it's free.
Take crap.
Can I say one more thing? The HD7 Acoustic Guitar Magazine is giving one away free.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, Martin Guitar Company and Acoustic Guitar Magazine have gotten together, and all you have to do is sign up. I don't know. It doesn't take anything. You don't have to buy anything.
It's online, I think, right?
So it's online, acousticguitarmagazine.com. Yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
That's a beauty. That sound is so incredible coming out of there. Thank I don't you. Know if I did it justice. I mean, we had, you know, I mean, that was an SM57 that Patrick...
The
punk rock microphone of choice, says Patrick. So.
Yeah. We used them for
Martin,
many years.
Who does your guitar manufacturing?
Martin, that's a Martin.
Really?
Yeah,
Martin.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So there you go. I mean, that's a nice,
and
nice
price?
Guitar.
It goes for $5,400, but you can get them for less.
Well, that's not, that's
street,
not awful.
Street prices in the 40s somewhere.
That's not awful for a really good
handmade.
Yeah.
They are handmade, yeah. Well.
Made by hands.
Yeah, they're made by human people in America. Yeah.
Hooray.
So thank you, everybody, for being here, and thanks to the Apple Store. We can take some audience questions. Matt Granowitzky, our twit turn. He's a private in the twit army, but he'll be corporal if he keeps this up. Just raise your hand if you have a question you'd like to ask or a comment you'd like to make about twit. You can raise your hand. How old is he? Is he two? You can. If you have a question, it's okay. He's well-trained from school. Yeah. Do you need a potty break? Because I can give you a pass and, you know... Go ahead, just take somebody at random. There you go. Yes, sir. What's your name?
Brooke Drum.
Hi, Brooke. Welcome.
Hey. I just wonder what the business model is for this. Cause either you guys are rich or you're bored. Because, I mean, you guys are well-known, but
rich
guys like us wanting to start a podcast or a videocast, no one knows us.
Right.
So what's the incentive? Is it just for fun, or is there a way to make money off this?
Guys like you from taking our, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I think
if we didn't do it, you know, then we'd be a problem.
It's fun for me.
So you're not taking advertising or anything, so
no.
How do you do it?
Patrick, you raised your hand. Would you explain our business model?
This is partially just pure vicious bitterness and vengeance on the part of a bunch of people.
Do you remember the original name of the show?
Yeah.
The Revenge of the Screensavers.
So it was almost, you could say, it was purely motivated by malice.
There's no money in that, though.
Well, don't knock
actually,
malice,
there's
though.
A lot of money in that, because it works really well on major media. Just look around at what gets broadcast. I mean, Jerry Springer, all about the hate, right?
Mm. Somebody sent me an email. I got the greatest email saying, what's your business model? Because he says, you know, I know you do this and this. Do you make all the money on books? What are you making how are you making a living?
And so we have day jobs.
We all have day jobs. You know, I do a TV and radio show.
Yeah.
Patrick works for PC Magazine.
Who here doesn't work full-time for themselves or someone else?
Well, the only one who really is in this for real is Prager and Kevin, because they're doing Revision 3. And that's, I mean, they're the ones really putting their butts on the line. But we all have jobs.
And I'll get fired if enough people don't watch Digital Life TV.
DigitalLifeTV.com.
They're a business model. These guys are just blowing smoke. A business model will emerge.
That's not blowing smoke. One will emerge. I think really at this point, I mean, the model is, and all of this is paid for by donations. So We do it for free, although I think we have enough donations that we could probably pay people, you know, some small amount of money for appearing on it. But it's not a business. We never created it as a business. We created it because we like doing it.
It's a public service.
Well, it's not that either. We create it because we like doing it. It's fun.
Be one to me.
Well, people like it.
It's a public service.
I like to look at, like, the Grateful Dead had a place where you could record their stuff, you know.
Right.
And,
a tapers pavilion. Yeah.
And it didn't hurt them. They got bigger than any other band in the world.
Yeah. We all get some benefit. I don't think Call for Help would be back on G4.
My
if it
blog
weren't for the
at Dvorak.org/blogs numbers have doubled.
Has it? If you say it again, it might go triple, you know?
Dvorak.org/blog.
There you go. Look at that. So we all get some publicity out of it. But publicity in itself doesn't make you money.
And most of the time we reject that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is right now there's...
Why are you not on mic? Can you put your mic somewhere that I can hear it?
It's been there the whole...
I know, but I don't hear you very well.
Is it unplugged?
No, I can hear you.
Just talk into it a little more. Yeah.
When I do that, I breathe. When there I breathe, you get upset.
Don't breathe either, though. Yes, you can talk, but not breathe.
The thing is, like, the model for all this IP stuff is, right, to borrow from Dvorak, it's all evolving, right? There's no Nielsen. There's no Arbitron rating system. And the problem is if you're looking for somebody else to pay for this, they either have to trust and believe in your product, like a sponsorship you'd get for a race car, which is a nightmare to get, or you have to prove by hosting all of your own content that you have a large enough user base to warrant somebody spending on it, right? The advertising model is usually CPM, cost per thousand, listeners, and you know, you get paid X number of dollars for cost per thousand listeners, which is usually either verified by you holding up something that says, hey, I had 150,000 downloads last week, that's 150,000 bodies, or it's done through, you know, other means. And it's a messy system to set up.
We have proof of numbers, have good numbers, and we could probably make money on this. In fact, you know, I mean,
we're losing a lot of money.
Yeah, we're turning away advertisers all the time. We didn't want advertisers because we didn't want to have anybody tell us that, first of all, we weren't completely independent. We didn't want anybody snooping into our... You know, we're all rebels. We're rebelling against... except for Dvorak. No, I think it's true. That's how this got started, John, is we didn't...
The only limit we give ourselves
we
is
are rebels.
That PG-13 rating. So
get the Sennheiser headsets AOL, on a little tighter. I'm such a rebel.
AOL, there is a condition for the bandwidth we get from AOL. We get two things from AOL. We get bandwidth, so we don't have to pay for that, which is something that you as a podcaster would have to figure out. How are we going to do that? You could do BitTorrent, but then you couldn't be on iTunes. And iTunes is a very important publicity medium. So that's an issue. We get bandwidth from AOL in return. We get two things. We get bandwidth, and they play this on AOL radio, which is very valuable. That's 10 million uniques a month. So that exposes us to a large audience. So they're giving us airplay, and they're giving us bandwidth in return for us saying AOL radio, you know, thanks for the bandwidth, which we've just done, so we don't have to do it again. But that's the only business deal we have on this, and I'm happy about it. I don't want to have to deal with those people. I don't want to have to talk to an advertiser every week.
Yeah, it's cool to be on your own.
It is.
I just love it.
We're very lucky.
Yeah.
We can do what we like to do, and people enjoy it. I think that's a privilege. So there is no, there's not really a business model. I mean, if you want to do your own podcast, you could create one. Subscription or advertising be the two ways to go. Yeah. But I don't think anybody is yet really making money on podcasting. You do it as a labor of love still.
Yeah.
Do you think, John was kind of skeptical about podcasting at first, do you think that podcasting will become viable commercial medium?
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is that right now, whatever our numbers are, probably about, potentially a third or a tenth of what they could be, because it turns out that the podcast technology, the way you do it properly with an RSS feed and the automatic download and the rest of it to typically an iPod. And if you look at the numbers, in fact, I see this when I plug the blog and then I get these hits, and I see the Mac numbers go way up. It's mostly Mac users that are kind of at the cutting edge of this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's why...
And when the other side gets in on it, it's going to be enormously big.
Great.
I mean, and the numbers that we have right now, once I think the market settles in on the concept of iPod or a podcast being cool to listen to in the car, for example, a lot of people listen to them in their car or casually or when they're jogging. Once I think that becomes ubiquitous, which it appears to be headed, I think our numbers on this show will easily go over 1 million listeners.
I want to be
no problem.
That there is ego involved, and I mean, we would love to be the first podcast to have 1 million listeners. I mean, if that's the payoff, that's. But Roger, I mean, when you as a performer,
yeah,
and I think this is true of programmers. I think it's true of most people. Monetary, you got to feed yourself.
Yeah.
But really,
it's about more than money.
What really makes it is the acknowledgement of your peers.
Exactly. I love the work. I love doing it. I love getting on stage and playing for people and the feedback I get from that.
That's the payback,
ultimately. That's the payback.
He just played for free.
Yeah. Well, it's like that guy, the joke about the musician who won the lottery. They said, what are you going to do with the money? He said, I'm going to keep on playing till the money runs out.
But if people ask, well, what's the business model for open source? People do stuff. I think human beings will do stuff that we love. As long as we can eat and have a roof over our head, we'll do stuff we love, whether that feeds that or not, and that people give us positive feedback.
I think we've beaten this to death.
Okay, next question.
What's the name of your podcast?
You're going to do a podcast?
Yeah, vaultmultimedia.com.
Vaultmultimedia.com, and what's it about?
It's actually about how to use technology in churches.
Love that. Cool. That's great. I'm going to do an interview with a Methodist church podcast next week. I listen to a number of Buddhist podcasts and religious podcasts. I think there are. My wife is about to do a podcast. John, don't look at me like that. My wife is about to do a podcast where she talks. She's a psychotherapist where she talks to people and just gets their life story. And you couldn't do that on commercial radio. And yet, this is what's so great about podcasting, is there's an explosion of content.
Do they know they're being recorded?
Yes. They will be knowing they're... Go ahead. Yeah, yes, sir. Wait till Bozo's gets to you there. Bozo's knows.
Leo, what method would you recommend is the easiest way to do the RSS encoding for a program to make a real podcast?
Well, the easiest way is to do what Kevin, for instance, does with Dignation, which is to have a blog. What do you use? You use WordPress? Or?
No, actually, we're doing it all in-house now. But we are using FeedBurner.
Well, that's what I was saying. You had a blog with its own RSS feed, and FeedBurner, if you give it the RSS feed, will take whatever enclosures are in there and turn it into a podcast. So initially, that's how you did it, right?
Yeah, actually, TypePad just announced that they're now doing the enclosures by default, so they're supporting podcasts.
So you don't, then you could do it without FeedBurner on TypePad.
WordPress does as well.
WordPress, too.
Yeah.
Does the FeedBurner have the extra code in there
stuff
for iTunes?
Yeah, it actually has a place where you can just browse. If you have album artwork that you want to put in there, you just browse, select the file, and it'll automatically put that into the feed for you.
I was very jealous initially because I was struggling with the iTunes stuff, and Kevin's feed immediately was iTunes compatible. I was pissed, but it turned out it's because he was using FeedBurner. What we do now is we hand encode for Twit, and in fact for all my podcasts, I hand encode the RSS using a great program called Feeder, which is a Macintosh-only program that makes it very, very easy. And what I found is that in the early days of RSS and of podcasting, people would just, it was kind of very basic, the enclosure, the location of the enclosure, maybe some simple descriptive stuff. What we do now is we put the whole show notes in there. When you get the RSS feed, you don't just get the sound, you get all the show notes, you get a lot of extra stuff. And I can do that now because I'm using Feeder, so I could put the show notes into the RSS feed. And I think I think podcasts are going to want to do that. I think they're going to want to make the feed be more than here's the audio. Yeah.
That's what I'm using too.
You like Feeder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the name of the...
The John Hammond Show. It's a podcast version of my cable TV show I've been doing for 22 years in New York City.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the show about?
It's a music, travel, and soft news.
That's great.
I stay away from the hard news. I leave that for CNN.
That's exactly what this podcast is about. Yeah. Music, travel, and soft news.
Right on.
Next question.
Thanks a lot.
Can I just add something? Is that johnhammond.com?
By the way, I'm John with no H. I'm the organ player, accordion player. Member of local 802 Musicians Union and local 6 in San Francisco.
You have some jam after the show. Yeah. You bring a keyboard.
Sal goes, right on, dude. And what's the URL for it, John?
Yeah, you go to, it's on iTunes, and you go to www.johnhammondband.com/files/XML.
Got it.
I believe.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
AJ, did you have something you wanted to add?
Thanks
about
a lot.
That?
Yeah, there's actually a really inexpensive way of getting a podcast on the internet using .Mac and a piece of software called, it's by Real Mac Software. It's called Rapid Weaver.
Oh, cool.
And it allows you to create a web page using cascading style sheets, and you can actually upload your MP3 online, and it will automatically create a podcast like XML feed for you, which is pretty cool.
That's really great. The only problem, of course, is if you get very popular, Apple's going to pull the plug on your .Mac account.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But that would be a good thing, right?
Yeah, and .Mac is cheap, and Rapid Weaver is real cheap. So
I love .Mac. I think that's a great value. More questions from the audience. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Matt. You can get to him in the back.
Yahoo just recently did a sale on their domain names for $1.99 a year.
I saw that. Isn't that amazing? Yeah,
why do you think they did this position? Because recently, like, it's lately, it's been $10 a year. So why do you think they did this $1.99
sale? The actual cost, I think, of getting of going to the ICANN with a domain name, I think it's $3.50. So they're selling it at a loss there. But I talked to the Two Cows guys, and I think that they said it was around $3.50. So anything,
I heard $4.
$4. It's in that ballpark. So anything like you pay more than $4, you're overpaying.
But it's all about the renewal, though.
The Yahoo thing is you can get a 5-year thing for what? $20? $10 for 5 years.
I didn't see the 5-year.
That's an amazing deal. I don't know why they're doing it, because they want to. What?
They want
to sell you more services.
Service. Yeah,
it's a loss leader.
It's a loss leader to sell you more services. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, do some squatting.
Go ahead. Just run to somebody with their hand up, Matt. You can't go that far. Well, maybe you can. This will be really... Earlier, those of you listening at home don't know this, but earlier I stepped on the power supply and unplugged everything. Maybe you did notice when you heard that giant... I can't wait to go home and listen to Twit. I don't know what it's going to sound like.
It'll
this week.
In the video version. We'll see you trip over.
Watch. Yeah, the video version will have what happened.
That'll be the highlight.
The audio version won't because it went dead. Yes, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? I was wondering, where do you guys see PowerPC going in desktops after Apple drops the processor?
Apple just ordered a bunch of new chips, didn't they? What is that all about? They actually reserved them. They reserve more PowerPCs. They don't have to sell them.
I think it's dead.
And a little bit more open-ended, Kevin, where's Hacking with Ramsey at? When's he coming back?
Ramsey, actually, he lives here in San Francisco. He'll be doing another episode of The Broken with us here in the next couple months. So,
the Broken is back, and so is Ramsey.
That's cool. Right.
Yeah. People love Ramsey.
Is he in the Mossad or something like that?
Yeah, he's from Jordan. He's an awesome little hacker guy.
Awesome. The awesome little hacker guy.
He loves to hack.
This thing on? Okay, good. Hi, my name is Chris White. I'm actually a Gentoo developer, so thanks for mentioning that.
Love Gentoo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love working on it. The question I wanted to ask you is, you're mentioning patents and whatnot. Two comments on that. Number one, I found that there was a very interesting patent that was put out in the net about someone who actually... They patented the Tarzan swing along with the Tarzan yell.
So if I do that, I could get sued.
I don't know how they enforce it, but I saw this online somewhere. The other comment I wanted to make, too, was what are you guys' opinions on the recent, I think Intel's, or the Microsoft Developers Conference somewhere, they were talking about digital rights management through the actual hardware itself. And then if you try to play, I guess if you're trying to play like an illegal file or something, it wouldn't let you do it.
That's TPM. Yeah.
What's your general opinion on that?
Sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, and that was the whole furor over Apple putting TPM into the developer box, which we never confirmed that they were doing. And that kind of blew over. Yeah.
That and Blu-ray, you're looking at the same situation where with updatable cryptography.
Well, they learned. CSS was a flop.
In addition to if you put a disk in that's not authorized, they could just as easily disable an entire player. So...
You know, I'll give you a really good example of where this reaches into your computer and it's a little too much. Electronic Arts. If you ever installed Alcohol 120% or Clone CD, which are two programs that allow you to crack games, but also put drivers on your system so that you can mount CD images, right? And I do that all the time because I have a spindleless laptop. So I'll copy a CD, put the image on there so I can mount it. I think it's Medal of Honor, a couple of Electronic Arts games, if Doom 3 see that driver on there, they refuse to let you play the game. Mm. They presume that you wouldn't have that on there unless you were a thief and about to steal their program.
It's like having a cantenna. Mm.
Yeah, it's like having a cantenna. I mean, appalled by that. Do you think you've seen that before?
It's annoying as can be.
I think it's more than annoying. It's not their business what I'm running on my computer.
And 9 times out of 10, whenever you're patching a game, if it's a relatively small patch and you don't see really what the heck they did, odds are it's just an update for that copy protection scheme.
To put it in.
That's going to re-say, like, there's a back-and-forth game between the people like Alcohol 120%.
Right, because they crack it.
To make a workaround, get us off the blacklist, and then they turn around and release a patch that updates the security on the disk that was shipped to go ahead and re-blacklist them. And you go back, I'm seeing it less on some of the new titles, either that or it's they've finally just given up on it. But for a good year there, every new game you had, especially the ones with, I want to say it was Star Force, or it was one of the two
major... I think it turns people into pirates. I told the guy
who
this happened to, well, sure, no problem, just go get a crack. and take that code out of your software. It's turning, it's forcing legitimate users. This guy paid $80 for these games, can't play them because he once installed Clone CD, uninstalled it, but the driver doesn't go away because they think, well, maybe you're still going to mount these discs, and he can't play the game. And I said, well, just, you know, here's how you get a crack. It's turning people into pirates. TPM will do the same thing.
It's bad.
Can you elaborate?
What can I say? It's
a bad
sucks.
Idea. It sucks.
How's that?
There you go. That's elaborate.
What were those DVDs that used to evaporate?
Dybbuk's.
Dybbuk's.
The original Dybbuk's.
Some DVDs should evaporate.
Yeah.
Some. Let's get the gentleman in the UCSD t-shirt.
I have a question for Kevin. Did G4 fire you, or did you resign?
No, I resigned. They actually, it was, there was about, oh gosh, about 30 days there where I was trying to get on my contract. And I went into Peter Green, who was in charge of programming there at G4, and sat down with him and said, I really want out. I want to do my own thing. And thankfully, they released me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do what we do with Revision 3 because I signed a 3-year deal with them.
Yeah. I'll vouch for that because he was so happy.
Yeah,
I remember,
right.
I remember when he told me. I was like,
it was just, I don't know, man. G4 sucked. There was a point where... I don't know.
Well, that's going to go over big with the podcast. That's good.
Yeah.
Make sure to keep that on the tape.
Yeah. Well, the only person here who would... could be hurt by that is me, because I have a show on G4, but I don't care.
Yeah,
I agree.
Oh, well, you can take it out then.
Well, don't
you
take it out.
That show, Kevin? Now?
What's that?
Well, Kevin's on Call for Help, too, yeah.
And it's really weird, because I'm back on G4 now, because I'm on your show, Leo.
But without a contract?
With no contract. Leo didn't make me sign a contract, so we're good there.
I'm thinking about it, though. 4, 5, 6 years.
No compete.
Lock him down.
No.
TV lives on.
Yeah, tech TV lives on in a weird way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it just refuses to die. We're the living proof of that. But I think it lives on because, not because of us, but because the viewers wouldn't let it die, basically. I mean, it would be long gone if people didn't want it back.
It had a bigger market than G4 gave it credit for.
I think that's why Call for Help's back on G4, is they're saying, even if it is in the, 8 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. Go ahead, just pick somebody else, Matt, and...
Along those same lines, do any of you guys who aren't on any networks anymore, what do you miss about it? And the other thing, have you guys seen the Asteroids Fossil Watch? Thing is awesome.
I have one of those, actually.
Does it actually play, or does it just do asteroids in the background?
It plays itself.
But you can't play it.
I wish it could, but the watch would be as big as me if that were the case. So
I don't think so. You could probably make asteroids in a size that small, I bet you. Bet you anything you could.
Of course.
I mean, there's an Asteroids widget for the dashboard widget.
Is there a Palm Pilot Asteroids version?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you use the Palm Pilot watch.
There you go. See? There you go. You can play it on your Palm Pilot
watch.
Atari
lives.
More questions? Anybody else?
Actually, no. To answer that question, though, I know Leo and I miss, there's a pure, vibrant, nasty adrenaline rush you get out of making live TV.
That's why we're doing this, Patrick.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, it's one thing for Patrick and me to sit sweating in my attic office with everybody else on Skype. That was all right. But this is so much better, don't you think? We like doing live TV. There was nothing like doing that. And
there's a tremendous group of people at Tech TV. More talent came in and out the door there than probably anywhere else will ever work.
I miss that, too. One of the things I hope we will do with Twit in our live venue is we're just going to say to all of those old Tech TV people, we're in Larkspur Landing every Sunday afternoon. Come by. There's a place, a chair for you and a glass of bourbon. Have a seat. We'll get Bordeaux for John. Black coffee for you, Patrick.
Appreciate it. White wine for Dave.
Roger, what would you like?
I like some Chardonnay.
Chardonnay, okay. Any other questions, or are we going to wrap this? Okay, I kind of have to work your way to the side here because Matt can only go so far with his with our microphones. So a couple of things, I'm going to make some notes. I need longer mic cables.
Wireless.
Get a wireless.
Wireless.
For the audience.
Good
get
wireless.
A boom mic.
Okay. And I need a power supply I can't step on.
Piece of tape around it.
Yeah. If I would just sit down, and I would be fine. I just can't sit down. Yeah, go ahead.
Quick question. I just want to know, is there going to be any element of estrogen on this?
Yes.
We've had Megan Maroney, we tried to get her on. Gina Smith was supposed to be on this week. If the women had a little more...
No, you know what the problem is?
They'd show up.
No, you know what the problem is? They all have babies.
Yeah.
So Megan has twin boys, and it's hard for her to get away, but she swears, she promises, she's dying to do it. And Gina Smith was going to be here, and her son, her 2-year-old Eric, has the flu. So she couldn't make it today, but she will probably be on the next TwitCast. And I've invited Kate, Patello many times. You haven't heard from her. She lives in New York, and that's the problem. But absolutely. I mean, I don't want it to be a
boys'
club.
Yeah, no, that's not a problem. We would love to have some women.
Jessica will be back.
Right now, it's just, you know, five weenies and whatever I said in that posting.
Yeah, so what did you say?
I think the show consists of five blowhards and a weenie.
And you're not going to identify the weenie.
Of course not. So we'd like to have some female blowhards, too.
Yeah, well, you can't have a female weenie, or could you?
I'm out of here.
I'll edit that part out. Go ahead.
Good call.
Another question.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask a question about privacy issues. I'm into genealogy, and I'm always looking up dead people, and I happen to look up live people. And to my surprise, I can find online, unprotected, my birth date, my mother's maiden name, and everything. And
my home address.
Your home address, yeah. Everything. And so this is what my bank and my credit card asked me to protect my account. Right. So what do you suggest we do? I mean, I'm safe. I got married. They can't find me. But you guys.
They will.
You know.
They will find you. I don't have a suggestion. I think the problem is this stuff
is
public.
Or something.
Yeah.
I move frequently. So
yeah, get your
changing
friends
an address
to put your
three or four times in 1 year helps a lot.
If you didn't buy, the problem is you've involved yourself in the economy. If you didn't buy a house, if you didn't have a credit card, if you don't have a data trail, you're invisible. But I mean, we all want to live in the economy. So,
right, but this is being put out by official records from the state of California.
But
records from the various.
Remember that. For years, county records, and for good reason, were made public, but you had to go to the county courthouse to see them.
Right.
Well, now those records are online, and I think that probably the best thing to do is to go to your state legislature and say, and this happened with the Teresa Saldana case, where she's an actress who was assaulted by a stalker who found her home information in DMV records that were online. At that time, the state of California yanked those DMV records. And so they need to do the same for other local records. But right now, that's who has to do something about it. You cannot protect yourself because those things are public record.
Sure.
You know what? We just bought a house, and I get in the mail every day solicitations to refinance my house with the exact amount I paid for the house.
You have a bullseye on your forehead as soon as you buy a house nowadays.
Have a baby, and you start every year now that my child has a birthday, I get junk mail from people that the hospital sold my information too. So it's very hard to protect yourself, and I think that really that's the government, that the only people that can do anything about it are the government.
Yeah, but the government, there's a long tradition of people walking into the DMV office with a $100 bill and a plate number, you know, going through former police officers, member of...
Doesn't cost $100 anymore.
Yeah,
you know. You go online for
can
50
always
bucks.
Get that.
I mean, there's
full rundown on just about anybody.
Yeah, it's a shame. But
there's a nasty side to the whole information wants to be free, and the flip side is information has a very, you know, interesting habit of following. You know, if there's money, the information's out there. You can move. You can chase your phone number. Basically, without dropping out of society and, you know, going to a barter system, you know, moving to Baja and checking off the grid, your information's out there.
You know? You raise a really interesting point, though, because that is the flip side of the thing that we celebrate so much, is that information wants to be free. Music wants to get out there. This stuff, the podcast, the video wants to get out there and spread itself. Well, information doesn't discriminate between your personal information and anything else. All of it wants to be free. So this is the flip side of the technology
that we
celebrate.
There needs to be some legislation. That's what needs to happen.
I think it's the only way, frankly. But, I mean, you can't trust the government, I think, to do the right thing in this case, can you? Because commercial interests...
all these jerks that are in there out and put some normal
But nobody
people
does.
In
commercial interests want this information.
It really needs to be an opt-in system where, unless you say otherwise,
so. I agree.
It
and
does
one
not
final comment.
Release to the public.
Next time for your next... free broadcast, why don't you solicit some duct tape so you can tape down all of your cords?
You should see this. Well, you will if you watch the video version of it. But, you know, it's all carefully designed.
And all of us that have worked at Tech TV have tons of gaffer's tape.
That's
stuff is so handy.
It's great for everything.
You know, I have a pledge to keep this podcast down to CD length. We've already exceeded that. But what I'm trying to do is keep it down to 2 CD length for this particular podcast so that we can make... What we'll do is we'll split it in half. And we'll have a two-hour and 10-minute versions. How many of you, just out of curiosity... How many of you listen to the podcast on your computer? Most of you, huh? How many of you listen to it on portable devices? Oh, about an equal number. How many of you burn it to a CD? Just a few, a handful. But those are the ones that we're doing that for.
So forget it. Obviously, it's a non-existent market.
Well, I just think it's a nice thing to do. I don't know. How many of you listen to the MP3 version? AAC version, AUG version.
Yeah. Yeah, him and him, two guys.
I should probably explain that a lot of people MP3, even more probably AAC, of course, this is an Apple crowd, and not any for the AUG version. Anybody, how many of you would, currently I distributed a 64 kilobit version, which is a fairly, it actually is a CD quality version. How many of you listen to the 32 kilobit or the lower version or would like an even lower quality version? You like the high quality version.
Yeah.
Most people have enough bandwidth that they can download the high quality version. Hmm. Finally, if we were to create a merchandising store at, let's say, Think Geek with T-shirts, mugs, sweatshirts, Patrick Norton masks, would you buy merchandise? All right.
Put the guitar on there, too.
I'd like to thank Roger McGuinn for being here. It was so great to have him.
Thank you for having me.
Just a real thrill.
It's a real pleasure.
Patrick, you got to give back the guitar now. I'm sorry. Patrick's been like Elvis for most of this podcast. He's been holding the guitar. Not playing it, just holding it. Patrick
I've
Norton.
Running scales.
Patrick is on TV again on the internet.
DigitalLifeTV.com.
David Prager is, of course, working for System and Revision 3, putting out more IPTV with Kevin Rose. The great Robert Herron is available at PCMagazine.com. He's their HDTV king. Kevin Rose, you want to tell us anything about what you're up to? Because I know you got a lot of projects. And
Mostly trying to scale Dig right now.
Dig is really taken off. Yeah. Dig is amazing. DIGG.com. And, we got to work out a way that I could get you the show notes so that you have them on Dig. We'll figure this out.
Yeah,
we'll right now, I mean, it goes out at the same time. I mean, you can always get it off the website, but you probably want it ahead of time.
Yeah,
right?
we'll get it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
John C. Dvorak at Dvorak.org/blog.
PC Magazine, Market Watch, here and there.
But
Dvorak.org/blog will link to those other
ones. Ladies and gentlemen, does John get any spam?
No spam.
John, I get no spam, Dvorak. And I want to introduce somebody who we haven't talked to yet. Ashley, I call him Ashley Twit. Ashley Witt, who is a composer. He's done music for many movies you've seen. He works with, I was going to say Richard Burton, Tim Burton, and a number of other people. And he's the guy who did this great Doing the Twit theme. I just want to thank you for that, Ashley. It's just really a great contribution. How did you come up with that?
Well, before you started Twit, I don't even think you remember it, but you were in the KFI chat room and you actually mentioned some of the stuff that you'd like to hear in a song.
Oh, I did? Yeah. I don't remember that.
And you wanted a little guitar, you wanted to be upbeat, a little hip-hop-ish. You put a few songs up for people to listen to. And pretty much within a few days,
It's really awesome.
I had just like, what was it, like 30 seconds or something like that, I think, and I sent you an email, but I didn't hear anything, so I thought, whatever, I'll just let it go. Somebody will put some music. And then one of the guys in the chat room, and I think you were one of them that pushed it along there, William, but there were actually a couple that just said, well, you need more. You got to put more. You got to have Leo listen to this. And then they kept bugging in the chat
room. Once I heard it, I flipped my lid. I must have missed your email.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure that's easy. I wasn't too worried about it. I wasn't going to send you 50,
Well, please do.
Everybody
next
else
time.
Was saying that. Yeah. But yeah, it was really the chat room, the guys in the KFI that, that Mike B and Dan and, there's a big gang and they finally got you to hear it.
Yeah, I'm so glad they did.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they did. Well,
but it was
for those
fun,
of
obviously.
Us, those of you who were here live earlier, you heard Ash perform a little bit of that. We're going to close the show with that. I want to thank you, Ash. I want to thank our panel today. And I really want to thank the live audience for being here. Thanks. Because we wouldn't do this without you. Thanks to Apple and the Apple Store San Francisco. Remember, we're live from now on at Noonan's Larkspur Landing in beautiful Marin County. Please come by and say hi anytime. The Pocket Protectors will come in the next couple of weeks, and I'll have them for everybody who wants to. Say it with me. Ladies and gentlemen, another Twit is in the can. Have a great one. Bye-bye. I should have paid attention.
attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.
Round the horn.
Granddad. Firewall.
Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right.